1212, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? This is Preach Jacobs for the Preach Jacobs podcast, brought to you by Big Media and sponsored by Soul House. And we're also sponsored by Soul House Art Gallery in the Kolger Center for the Arts. Make sure that you get ready to come to the next Soul House sessions, which is going to be October 22nd. It's going to be a ColaCon anniversary event. We have some guest speakers on the panel for that. We're going to have Dre Lopez, hip hop artist, Jay Live, Stephen Prowse, and Ebony Toussaint of the Aurora podcast. It's going to be really, really dope. We have a new show that we got coming up that's going to be ColaCon inspired. So we're talking about hip hop, comics, pop art, social awareness, all that good stuff. And we're going to have artwork featured by the amazing Dan Lish, who is out of London. And if you don't know who he is, I'm sure you've seen his work. His stuff is very, very hip hop centric. Very, very soul music centric. And we have some amazing original pieces that he has that we're going to put in this show, which is also a big deal because he never does stuff in the United States. So to have him doing stuff for this exhibit, I'm really, really, really excited. So make sure you guys get your tickets for that for October the 22nd. You can go to Kolger Center for the Arts .org, or you can go to all my social media. So follow me at Preach Jacobs and you will see links and all my stuff to get tickets. We might probably put a little discount code for you guys who listen to the podcast, but we'll make that work. I'll make sure that Barrett does that. Shout out to Barrett. Shout out to Big Media. This is probably going to be an episode where I'm just going to be talking for a little bit. Thank you guys for keeping up with the Preach Jacobs podcast. And listen, there's a part of this where I understand the media diet that everyone has to have, right? Where it's like, if you do a podcast, you're competing with the things that people listen to on a regular basis, right? So it's one of those things that if I'm in media, if I'm in anything creative, it's a smart move to have this. But I also know I don't want to waste you guys' time and make sure that like it becomes a part of your healthy diet. And it's also a part of the work that we do, right? As creatives, as artists, as community activists, or people that are involved in doing things to uplift their communities, there's a part of that paranoia of, am I doing enough? Or the things that I think that I need to be doing, are there enough people paying attention? Are enough people listening? Shout out to my girl Delana that listened to the Nikki Finney episode and reminded me of what Nikki was telling us, like, just do the work. Do the work. You know, stop worrying about whether or not 1,000 people are going to show up. Do the fucking work. So this is kind of one of those episodes where in between guests, I want to always have the opportunity to just have an episode or two where I just talk, right? So I have a couple of things on the docket I want to talk about. And I think the first things first, I haven't been moved by a movie in a very long time. Give me a second. Let me backtrack a bit. I was really disappointed recently about a different movie that I'm about to bring up. Listen, nobody loves Spike Lee more than me. I have, like, if we were doing, at some point we'll do video for this podcast, but I have like an autographed Spike Lee poster. I have an autographed book, the Spike book. My promotional moniker is called Mo' Betta Soul, which is based on Mo' Betta Blues. Listen, the biggest Spike fan. And Denzel, I think, is the greatest living actor or greatest actor that I've ever seen. So when Highest to Lowest came out, I had all these high expectations, and Lord Jesus, I was so heartbroken with that shit. Oh my gosh. And Jeffrey Wright, who I think is criminally underrated, was totally underutilized for this movie. And it just really, really broke my heart. I bring this up, not to bash the Spike movie, not to bash Denzel, but to talk about how I've been very, very, very paranoid about being excited about films coming up. So when I saw the trailer for One Battle After Another, Paul Thomas Anderson, for the people that don't know, he did Boogie Nights, he did There Will Be Blood, Phantom Thread, Magnolia, Mystic Pizza. Was it Mystic Pizza? I can't remember. Anyways, amazing, amazing director who's also married to Maya Rudolph, which is Minnie Riperton's daughter. For the trivia people out there, so if you guys are ever doing trivia at a bar, that's a free one for you. So when I saw the trailer to this film, Leonardo DiCaprio, Benicio del Toro, Tiana Taylor, and Sean Penn, I was cautiously optimistic. And I was seeing all of the reviews that I saw and the people talking about it, like Spielberg talking about how great of a movie it was, and Scorsese talking about how great of a movie it was. And I'm seeing like all these reviews, and I never see this happen in a long time. And I was like, holy shit, maybe there's something to this. And so to put this in some perspective and why I want to talk about this, the film is very, very timely, and it talks about how to be a political activist in these times. There's a lot of parallels to the Weather Underground organization, and kind of just anti-government, anti-system, and the relationships of black and brown people and white folks kind of in the middle of it. I'll touch on that in a second. And when I went to the morning showing of this, I found out Asada died. And I thought that was very, very poetic in a way, because this feels like Asada Shakur's story, or there's many elements of this that I think that relates. And I want to write something about Asada, but I don't know what to write just yet. Like, Asada was one of these people that the hip hop I grew up on when I was at that very, very impressionable age, right? You're looking at middle school to high school range, and you start like gravitating towards this stuff, right? I'm starting to wear dashikis and start wanting to, you know, get my hair twisted and start my locks, and I'm listening to Dead Prez and all this type of stuff. So the story of Asada, who's this incredible freedom fighter, involved with the Panthers, becomes a political prisoner. She had to flee, escape prison, go to Cuba, and she passed away in Cuba. She was still on the FBI's most wanted list when she passed away. Her story is remarkable. If you guys haven't read the autobiography, please do it. And I want to write something a little bit later about it. But I say that to say, to see that she passed away right before I saw this film really hit me as something that was it a coincidence? Yeah, coincidental in a way. This movie is incredible. I feel like A, it's probably going to win Best Picture, or it should. B, Leo's probably going to get another nomination. I don't know if he's going to win it yet. And listen, I still say this too, because there's still a Daniel Day-Lewis movie coming out this year, and I don't know what the fuck's going to happen with that. So Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, he always just kind of kills everybody. But that aside, Sean Penn, I fucking hated him in this movie. And that's a good thing, because he just did the role extremely well. And there was something really, really great that I think Paul Thomas Anderson did with the film, is that he talked about these things that felt very, very, very MAGA related, and never had to use the term MAGA, right? He never had to say anything about this stuff that's going on specifically, because I feel like what happens with white Americans, that when we talk about these things that are happening to us, whether social, politically, or things with oppression, or things where we're dealing with fascism, or you're dealing with the mistreatment, everyone believes that, oh my gosh, things are so terrible, we never saw this. And I think that if you ever feel like you've never seen this shit before, have a conversation with an older black or brown person, and they're like, nah, nigga, this shit ain't new. And so Tiana Taylor is incredible. I think she's going to get nominated for something. I think the script is amazing. And I think Chase Infinity, who plays the daughter of DiCaprio's character, Tiana Taylor's character, I think she was phenomenal. And I mean, I'm not giving a movie review. It's like almost 3 hours. But I think that more than a review of the film, I want to talk about the impact that it had on me. And I think that I read something that I thought was really, really succinct, where it's a story about, you know, political activists and people doing these things to kind of, you know, anti-government, anti-establishment, you know, all the Rage Against the Machine shit talked about, right? And the movie centered around Leonardo DiCaprio's character trying to get his daughter back that's kidnapped, for the most part. And there was these questions that were just like, you know, this movie is really, really touching on a lot of these black and brown themes and oppression that's happening to us. Why is this centering around this white man for so much? And somebody said this, a woman, I think, wrote a review praising the greatness of the film. She said her belief is because white people need to hear this more than anything else. Right. Right. Like, nah, y'all niggas need to see this through the eyes of Leo. Probably to really, really, really understand and feel this and get it the way you need to. And I thought that was a really, really interesting take. Like, I didn't have an issue with DiCaprio or whatever. I just also thought it was funny that this, like, ultra, ultra black power character, as Tiana Taylor's character, like, married to a white boy, right? Which I think is hilarious, but neither here or there. But I think that was really, really an interesting point where, nah, y'all need to see this. And y'all need to know what it feels like to be treated like a black and brown person in America. Like, I was watching totally by accident, because I've definitely been off the Bill Maher thing, where Bill Maher kind of comes off as this, I'm a liberal and I hate religion and this and this and that. But there was a few things that he's done in recent time that I really didn't fuck with. Number one, him saying nigga on his show, like, it's nothing. Like, we ain't doing that shit. Like, that's number one. I was like, all right, we're over it. You think you're trying to be funny? This shit ain't working. You don't have enough black friends in your life. You need to be smacked. But recently, he went on this whole thing, which I'm a little annoyed that he's doing this whole talk about, I don't like what they're doing to Jimmy Kimmel and this and this and that. Yo, a few months ago, Bill Maher was talking about how he had dinner with Trump, and he was like a fucking fangirl. He's like, I had this piece of paper and he signed it for me. Like, I swear to God, like, when I saw this, I was like, this can't be real. So I say this to say that when I saw one of these recent episodes of Bill Maher's show, it's totally by accident. I was watching Last Week Tonight and I left the TV on. This episode came on and he was talking to Trump's border czar, which I forgot the guy's name, but I seen the guy on 60 Minutes and he looks like a character from this movie. Matter of fact, he feels like Sean Penn's character. And I bet you if Paul Thomas Anderson talked about some of the motivations for this film, that guy would have been a motivation for Paul Thomas Anderson's character. And Bill was asking him, like, about how ICE operates and immigration and this and this and that. And he was just like, yo, dog, do you feel that y'all are going too far with this? You know, these whole claims of ICE arresting criminals and this and this and that, fantastic, great, but you have real people that are terrified, real people that aren't criminals, real people that are here legally, real people that have jobs, and what's ICE using their resources to take out Carolyn that works at the local diner that we've known for so many years? And this guy basically had this really, really dismissive, flippant attitude. And he was just like, well, you know, well, we got to prove a point. Kind of like saying sometimes you're going to have to arrest and do terrible shit to innocent people just to scare everybody else, right? And I say that because when I watched the film, Leonardo DiCaprio's character felt what it felt like to be a black man dealing with law enforcement or dealing with pieces of power, where I think that white folks, no matter what, feel like, man, you know what? I could have done a crime. I could have done something crazy. I could have done something terrible, but I'll still be treated with respect and dignity. And this film, it kind of felt like he was having kind of this crash course of blackity blackness, right? So if anything, like I said, this isn't a film review, but it was these things that were intersecting. The film felt very, very timely. The passing of Assata Shakur and kind of seeing these things kind of really, really play on in real time. I really want to be a lot better not to be reactionary about a lot of stuff that's going on. Because, like, listen, man, if we react to every fucking thing that the president does, all of my podcast episodes would be Trump said this and he said that. Like, I want to be in a position where we can have conversations and do things that are community related and community based without entertaining or being reactionary to a lot of this shit that's going on. So if you guys get the time, if you got 3 motherfucking hours, go see One Batter After Another. That is my film review. Once again, This is the Preach Jacobs podcast. Make sure you get your tickets to the next Soul House Sessions, which is going to be October the 22nd. It's going to be the ColaCon edition. For people that don't know, ColaCon was the nation's first hip hop comic convention that I started in 2011. And it combines hip hop and comic book culture. The first year we did it, we had Talib Kweli headlined it. The second year we had Ghostface and the late Fife from A Tribe Called Quest. The year after that, we had Dead Prez, which we just talked about, Foreign Exchange. And the final year, after I kind of took a break from it, we had a DJ party with Black Milk and Pete Rock. So this is kind of really, really cool to have a conversation about hip hop and comics again. We're going to have J Live, hip hop artist extraordinaire, going to be on the panel. We're going to have Dre Lopez, who's a visual artist that we work with extensively and also was really helpful with ColaCon, as well as comic book writer Stephen Prowse from here, and Ebony Toussaint, who is a doctor but also has a podcast, Geeking Out with Black Girls in Comics, called the Aurora Podcast. I'm really, really excited about this panel. Go to all of my socials to find tickets for it. Go to the Kogan Center for the Arts and get your tickets for it. October 22nd. One of the other things that I want to talk about, I wrote a column that just came out this week, and it was a little personal, which I think that's the best way for me to write columns. My theory about writing columns now is, like, does this shit make me uncomfortable? Cool, write about it. I wrote a column for the Free Times, and also I would say follow me on my Substack. I've had a Substack for a long time, never knew what the fuck to do with it. I'm now adding articles that I've been doing for other publications and putting it on there. So I say that to say, so many people, when I send my articles to them, they're saying it's behind a paywall. So I'm adding my articles from other publications on there. I ain't got no contract saying that I can't put paywall stuff on my shit. So make sure you go to the Preach Jacob Substack, or you can check out my latest article, the Free Times website. The article was talking about my great uncle, and it's called The Silence Around Uncle Dick, and kind of some inside baseball. My grandmother had this one sibling that I just would see. I probably seen one or two pictures in my lifetime of him. And Uncle Dick, my family never talked about him. And I found out more recently why the family didn't talk about him was because it was suspected that he died by suicide. There was a relationship or a marriage that was having some issues, and there was depression, and somehow, some way, the explanation of it was, oh, he was cleaning a gun, or it was an accidental discharge, something to that extent. And I'm just now finding out about this story recently. And I wanted to write about it because September was Suicide Prevention Month. And so the article kind of talked about depression and suicide, but more specifically depression and suicide in the Black communities, and even how it impacted generations prior to me, you know? And one of the things that I talked about in the article, when my mom was telling me about my great uncle Dick, she was telling me that my great grandmother, her grandmama, when she was at the funeral, it looked like she regretted having a funeral. Like, it looked like she regretted having a space where the mourning or the shame or the guilt or whatever it was just felt like too much. And my mom was just like, it felt like she regretted having a service for him. And my mom said something. She was just like, you know, he couldn't talk to nobody, you know, not in a dismissive way. But I think that when there's conversations about depression, and this is why I really wanted to write about it, is that people think that it's like, oh, I'm here. I could have been here. And so one of the things that I said in the article was, it's 2025 and it's difficult to have conversations about depression or suicide. And I can't imagine how much better that shit would have been in 1984 when Uncle Dick passed away. So it was a very, very, very personal article. It was very, very transparent about, you know, my past dealings with depression and suicide and what's happened to me, right? In a sense of, you know, even when you're not thinking of acting on stuff, just a conversation saying, yeah, I think about that stuff, but I'm not motivated to do it. It scares people from being around you. And I've had people that love me to be like, I can't fuck with you. I can't be around you because they've had people in their family that passed away by suicide. So they got to cut you out. And so you feel this abandonment of being honest and being open and having a conversation about it. And so I thought that was really, really important for me to write about. Because once again, if I feel terrified or paranoid, I should write about it. So if you guys get a chance, please, please, please read that article. I have a couple other things that I'm working on very, very soon. Make sure you follow the Substack. So it's like Substack, Preach Jacobs. Really, 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 really simple shit. And I'm trying to figure out, is there anything else that I want to touch on? I think that all this, the new stuff, probably by the time you guys hear this, it might be late shit anyway, where you probably have like, oh, you know, Jimmy Kimmel was off the air and blah, 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 like whatever. Like I think that there are people much more involved in the social media, digital media, talking heads thing that's probably talk about this stuff ad nauseum. So I don't really think I have anything to add to it. I think that's it. I'm about 20 minutes deep. I think that I've said enough stuff I wanted to say to get kind of a cool episode out of here. Just make sure you guys just check us out. And I'm trying to get better with having these episodes come out on a regular basis. And, you know, thank you guys for the support. Thank you guys for listening. Once again, October 22nd is the next Soul House Sessions at the Coker Center. Get your tickets. It's only $10. We want to make sure that we take care of the people that are involved, that are participating with the things that we're doing. So thank you guys so much. And I think that's it. So please follow me and all my stuff, and we'll talk to you next time. Peace.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.